gives ears to hear, and let us all be edified by the message that you've laid on Pastor's heart. And fill him with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we love him. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Amen. So we're in Jeremiah chapter number 10 this evening. And if you didn't catch on there, you didn't notice, it has a lot to do with idolatry. All right, and the Bible says that that's obviously falsehood, that it's not profitable, extremely wrong. But what I want you to do is I want you to look at verse number 2. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." So the title of my sermon this evening is Halloween is the Way of the Heathen. Halloween is the Way of the Heathen. I'll just tell you, you know, I grew up going trick-or-treating and celebrating Halloween. In fact, I got saved, I think I was 9 years old. It was like the second time I was in second grade. I remember that. And yes, I did second grade twice. And, you know, I got saved at an independent fundamental Baptist church. And the family that got me saved also was the family that I went trick-or-treating with for most of my childhood. You know? And they went to the independent, fundamental, King James only, soul-winning church as well. You know, so I grew up just not even really thinking about it. You know, just this is just what we do. It never even crossed my mind, even after I got saved. So, I mean, what does that tell you? You know, people don't just get saved and automatically know the truth. Now, obviously, yeah, I could recognize I had the spirit, like, oh, that's gory. That's kind of, you know, it's a little too much. You know, obviously, you kind of have a feeling here and there. But, you know, nonetheless, you're a kid. And I just wanted the candy, you know. And that's what most people want today. They just want the candy until they grow up. And then what do they want? They want the drunken house party. That's what they want. See, it just evolves. It just escalates. It evolves. That's what this holiday does. But, yeah, I can remember, you know, my friend and I talking about Halloween, like, I wonder if this is something that maybe is against the Bible. And I remember his mom saying, you know, well, the church is against Halloween. They are against it. But we just kind of do it anyways because it's really just more about the candy and stuff like that. You know, and we're not going to carve the pumpkins, you know, and we're just going to, like, draw on them. Like, somehow that changes it from idolatry to being okay. I remember them saying that. And, of course, as I think when I was in fourth grade, that family had a mishap with the church and wound up leaving, and then they just went full bore right into the world. But, you know, yeah, I grew up trick-or-treating. I can remember trick-or-treating up till the time I was 17 years old, you know, and then obviously I went away, joined the military, and then one day I eventually woke up and learned the truth about the holiday. I learned about its history. I learned that it is not anything that God is going to be happy about, that God would ordain or say that, you know, this is okay for you to do. Not at all. In fact, it is, like Jeremiah talks about, it's the way of the heathen. What I want you to do here is look down at verse number 21. It says, "For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered." So what he's saying there is the pastors are become stupid. They've become brutish. They have become void of the Word of God. Now, I know in my journey back to the Independent Baptist Church as a young adult, most of the churches I would go to that Jessica and I would attend, they would never preach against Halloween. I can tell you right now, independent, King James only, bus ministry, Baptist churches, they will not preach against Halloween. Or they'll even one-up that and they'll have the alternative, which is called trunk or treat. Who's ever heard of trunk or treat? Trunk or treat is where people show up to the church building or a designated location, right? Usually church members, staff, workers, and they pack their trunks full of candy, right? And typically they dress up in costumes, right? So the kids can go there, and so the parents basically, what the churches say is, well, this is an alternative to Halloween. You can trust the people at church. You can trust the workers, right? So we have this trunk or treat where you go there, you know, and there's games and activities and bobbing for apples and all the typical Halloween junk and you know, all that stuff, right? And so you go to each car and you look at the scary lady's costume, you know, the church secretary's costume, and you get your candy, and then I guess you just bounce out of there. But, you know, all that's doing is conforming to the world. Right. I mean, it's still the way of the heathen. I mean, have you ever wondered where Halloween came from? Have you ever wondered, like, what it's really all about? Like, where did this trick-or-treat stuff come from? Where did it originate from? So that's what we're going to be talking about. And you say, well, okay, what's your point? You know, why preach this sermon? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 10, it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We are commanded to prove what is acceptable. And that includes Halloween. Is it acceptable? Is it acceptable for God's people to partake in Halloween? Yes or no? And the answer is definitely no. So what I've got for you this evening is I've just got 6 points and a conclusion. And these 6 points are all violations of Scripture. They're all things you can easily remember. Not because you need to have things easily remembered, but because these are supposed to be used so that you can communicate to other Christians on why we don't support this stuff. I mean, anybody who names the name of Christ should at least be able to stand before you and say with an honest heart, yes, the Bible is my authority. Right? I mean, even the liberals will at least pay lip service at the door. I mean, a lot of times, right? And so, but you know, where does the persecution come from? Oftentimes, it's not only just from the world, but a lot of times, it's from these liberal Christians. Whether they're saved or they're your NIV types, right? They're the ones that want to persecute us for not partaking, you know? And they don't do us any favor out in the workforce either, right? You know, at the place where I work, for example, the known Christians that work there, right? They drink beer. So, you know, we're about to have this Christmas party, lunch or dinner or something like this in a couple months. And somebody was like, are we going to be able to drink beers and stuff like that? And they're like, oh, yes. And I'm looking at the people that are responding and they're all Christians, right? Well, someone asked me recently, well, like, hey, you know, at this place we're going, we have these beers and stuff. And I'm like, well, you're not going to see me then. But they're like, you know, aren't you glad? Glad? No, I'm not glad. And they're like, well, all the other Christians at work, they drink beer. What's wrong with you? Are you in a cult? Are you a Jehovah's Witness? No, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. No, I'm not in a cult. It's wrong. Right? And guess what? These same people celebrate Halloween. So when they say, hey, are you ready for Halloween? Are you ready for Halloween tomorrow? No. No, I'm not. No, I'm not ready for Halloween. What's wrong with you? That's the wrong question. The question is, what's wrong with you? But it's the same thing. Well, so-and-so's a Christian. They go trick-or-treating. So-and-so's a Christian. They do Halloween. Why can't you? It's the same old stuff. And so it's because of that that we have to know the Bible. We have to really know how to preach these people the truth. To show them their errors. The Bible says, prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And by the end of tonight, it should not be a question in your mind whether or not Halloween is acceptable to the Lord. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 18. So, point number one this evening is Halloween violates Scripture because of its history. Halloween violates Scripture because of its history. So, we opened up with Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2, which says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. And point number one is Halloween violates Scripture because of its history. And what I'm about to show you is it's not something that God's people created. It's not something that God ordained. In fact, it's 180 degrees the opposite, no matter how you look at it. Right. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to go over some brief history about Halloween. And I'll tell you, you know, I've been studying this out for the last few days. And one thing I've learned, there's a lot of inconsistencies. So the things that I have here are the things that pretty much were consistent throughout a lot of the different history articles and scholarly articles and things like that I read. But what I want to do is I just want to start off by reading to you the History Channel's definition of Halloween. Now, why do you say, why do that? Because they, in my opinion, I think they hate God. I mean, I remember watching the History Channel with my dad and, you know, growing up and stuff, and it always seemed like they're always trying to discredit the Bible. Maybe not when it first started out, but eventually, you know, it always goes back to, well, Jesus might have done this, or he might have had a way to walk on water with, like, styrofoam blocks. I mean, who knows the Mythbusters, right? Yeah, the Mythbusters, basically, they make fun of that as well, you know, and it's on the same network there. I forgot what channel that was, but either way, you know, the History Channel definitely doesn't have any of our interests at heart. But when I read you this definition here, what they say Halloween is and how we got these traditions, it's basically the same thing that you're going to get from your modern day Christian. So just listen to this. According to the History Channel, Halloween is a holiday celebrated each year on October 31st. And Halloween on this year is on Thursday, October 31st. Yeah, I got that. Okay, that's literally what it says. The tradition originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain. It's spelled Samhain. When people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts, in the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time to honor All Saints. Soon, All Saints' Day incorporated some of the traditions of Samhain. The evening before was known as All Hallows' Eve and later Halloween. Over time, Halloween evolved into a day of activities like trick-or-treating, carving jack-o'-lanterns, festive gatherings, donning costumes, and eating treats. Now, it doesn't sound too bad according to the History Channel, right? Even with that mild, watered-down version, that's still the way of the heathen.
Right.
And look, I think Catholics are heathens.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't call them Christians. They call themselves Christians. The Mormons want to call themselves Christians. They are heathens.
Yeah.
They're not saved. They don't have the Bible as their final authority.
Right.
But you know what? I go into people's houses all week long, every day. You know who I see celebrating Halloween? It's the Mormons.
Yeah.
It's the Catholics. It's the Nazarenes. And it's people that go to some of these other liberal Baptist churches around here.
Yeah.
They're the ones celebrating Halloween. I mean, they got their yards decked out like over the top.
Right.
Over the top. I went into this one Mormon person's house recently, and they have like these belly up dead crows. I mean, obviously, I don't think they're real, but they're just, you know, idols or whatever. But they're just like all over the house. I mean, when I walked in, I was like, all right, you know, they've got this display set up right where you take your shoes off, right? And it's got like five or six different crows, and it's got like this, like these weird like book looking things, and it's got like this, I guess it's German writing, and it's got skulls like in the middle of it. And I'm like, okay, well, what is that, like a book of witchcraft? Right above it, it's the proclamation to the world from the Mormon apostles, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, I see what's going on here. I go in the kitchen, you know, I start looking around at the appliances. There's dead crows on top of the fridge. There's like cobwebs strung out. I'm like, man, these people are really into it. And it's not just that house. It's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I went to a rich neighborhood today, and I was sitting there waiting for this customer to get home, and I was just kind of bored. I was just kind of thinking about this sermon. I'm looking around. I couldn't find a house in sight that wasn't decked out with skeletons, body bags.
Yeah.
Over right off Lake Hazel, there's a subdivision over there. I think it's Rockhampton. You go in there. There's a house. There might even be two houses. And they've got like five or six like full-size body bags hanging from a tree, right? And they've got like not a stuffed animal, but like a Cabbage Patch Girl or something, you know, about this tall, just hanging off a tree with a noose. And I mean, it's intense.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wicked. And you know what? Look in the window there, a proclamation to the world. I'm serious. These people are out of their minds. So I just read for you that mild version there from the History Channel, and that's basically the answer that I've gotten from Christians. You know, when you explain to them why we don't celebrate Halloween, they'll pretty much just regurgitate this to you. You know, well, it's just about the treats. It's just trick-or-treating. You think God's going to get mad because my kids dress up as Mario and Luigi and then go out and get some candy? Well, let's take a look. So, listen to this. This is not History Channel. This isn't even somebody who's saved. This is just recorded history here. It says, according to Irish mythology, Samhain, like Beltane, I might be saying that wrong. It's another wicked holiday that the Celts practiced, but it says it was a time when the doorways to the other world opened, allowing supernatural beings and the souls of the dead to come into our world. But while Beltane was a summer festival for the living, Samhain was essentially a festival for the dead. Goes on to say this, on Samhain it was believed that the veil lifted between the worlds of the living and the dead, allowing spirits, demons, and other mythical creatures such as fairies, and it gave them a chance to walk amongst us. Goes on to say, but the reality of Halloween through the eyes of the Celts and Druids is scarier than any horror film. And keep in mind, this was written by somebody who's not saved, who does not believe the Bible. It doesn't, you know, hold to any kind of religious beliefs as far as I could see. And it goes on to say this. It says, according to old documents, in its most primitive guise, Samhain would have featured many sacrifices to the Celtic gods of death, with both animals and humans thrown into huge fire pits as offerings. It goes on to say, hollowed out pumpkins, gourds, and turnips would be filled with fat from previous sacrifices and lit. Like, this stuff gets pretty nasty. So I read one account where the Druids, which are like the elite of the Celtic society, these priests, right? They would build a human, like a man, like an effigy. They'd build like this big obstruction, and it would be in the shape of a man. And they would pack it full with people that were willing to be sacrificed, and they'd just light that guy on fire. Yeah, you ever heard of the festival called the Burning Man?
Wow.
Possibly where that came from. It's disgusting. It goes on to say, The Druids had many ways of sacrificing humans, one of which was packing them in a giant burning effigy of man. And that's exactly what I was just talking about there. You know, you ever heard of Stonehenge? You know, they find dead remains under in that place all the time. You know, and you could watch videos, and some of them will say, well, that was just a myth. You know, these are people that died working and building these things. I even read one account where they were saying, there's no way man could have got these stones there. It was probably UFOs and aliens that, you know, rigged them there. It's, come on, man. These people had technology then. I mean, you know, they were wicked. And so now what I'm going to do is I just want to read for you a little bit of the history of trick-or-treat. Because, you know, I always wondered, where did this come from, right, trick-or-treat? Well, some pastors would just be like, well, you know, it's just a game, you know, it's just that the Irish kids used to play back in the day where they'd go knock on someone's door and that they would, you know, if you didn't give them a treat, like a muffin or something, they'd do something to your house, like maybe toilet paper your house or turn your plants upside down. You know, I'm sure after, you know, the Druids and the Celts got, you know, the rear ends handed to them, maybe they downgraded to that, and then we have what we have today. But either way you look at it, it comes from the way of the heathen, and it's not something that we should partake in.
Right.
So, I wrote this down as well. It says that Druids would basically, here's what they would do. The Druids would knock on your door Halloween night. And keep in mind, in this culture, people literally thought that demons on this day were going to come and get them, because that's what the priests were going around doing, right? The big trick was that, hey, you're going to get taken, you know, by one of these spirits. And so it basically caused a lot of the people during that time to be willing to sacrifice their kids. You ever wonder how people got so willing to offer their children to Molech in the Bible? To make their sons and their daughters pass through the fire? It's from the religious leaders of the time convincing people, the simple, that, hey, if you don't do this, something's going to come and get you.
Right.
Or, hey, if you want real blessings and real power, this is what you need to do. You need to offer up something innocent. You know, that's the big lie. And so what these priests would do is they would go around on Halloween night and they would knock on the door and they would yell trick or treat in order to collect a sacrifice to go to Stonehenge. Now, the more innocent that sacrifice, the better. It said that they were after an innocent child to sacrifice to Samhain, the god of the dead. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, you know, people, especially Christians, say they don't want to believe that. You could tell they've never even read through the Old Testament, because this is exactly what people did in the Old Testament.
Right, right.
So there's nothing new under the sun. I totally believe it. I totally believe they were doing that. You know what? There's people doing that today. Do you think the media wants to really broadcast that, though? Of course not. I believe that the rich, elite people of this world do human sacrifices all the time. You know why? Because they did it in the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
He goes on to say this. Once the sacrifice was made, then the Druid priest would come back with a jack-o'-lantern placed on the porch to signify to the spirit world that the sacrifice had been made. So, you ever wonder why people carve their little pumpkins and then they set them out on the porch? Where that came from? Well, it came from the Druid priest, who once they took your son or your daughter and sacrificed them, right? They would come back and place this carved, usually a gourd of some sort. I don't think they might not have had pumpkins. It said they used turnips or gourds or, you know, whatever they had at the time. But they would basically carve an image on there to let the family know, hey, job complete, sacrifice has been made. And then that jack-o'-lantern, that carving would ward off evil spirits. And then it says that the family is also held to the belief that it would keep the demons away from them. So, look, I believe that's the history of it. Even if you don't, even at face value, just looking at these carved images, these skeletons, this death, these idols in people's yards, that alone should be enough to convince you that it's not of God,
yeah.
Right? But now knowing the history, that should make you a little bit more upset about this. So remember, point number one, Halloween is a violation of Scripture because of its history. It is the way of the heathen.
Yeah.
That's what it does. It follows the way of the heathen. You're there in Deuteronomy 18. Look at verse number 9. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Look at verse number 9. It says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Look at God's attitude here. God does not want us to learn the way of the heathen. It's the same thing here in Deuteronomy that we read in Jeremiah chapter 10. Now look at verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. What's the symbol of Halloween typically? It's the witch flying her on her broomstick right across the moon, right? That's tip that, I mean, growing up, you know, that was like the symbol. Once you saw that on people's doors, it was like, man, candy's coming. You know, I knew Halloween was coming. But look, God is obviously against it. He says, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Well, guess what? Going around and trick-or-treating, going around carving pumpkins and putting them on your porch is after the way of the heathen. No matter how you look at it, that's what it is. That's what it is. You can't tell me, oh, I don't believe that. No, you just don't want to believe that. You see, there's a difference. There's a difference between somebody who doesn't want to believe something versus what's actually a fact, or somebody who says, you know what, I just don't believe it.
Right.
You know what I mean? These people, these Christians, when you tell them this stuff, you know what? They have a secret. They know it. They believe it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's common sense. It came from somewhere, and it's evil. So look at verse 11. It says, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Look, what did Saul get in trouble for? I mean, pick your sin with Saul, right? But one of the things that he did, which should blow your mind, is that he went and sought a witch. He went and sought the witch of Endor, right? I mean, that he even had a law to put witches to death, which God said was a righteous thing to do. But then he goes and violates that because God had departed from him, and he goes and sees this witch, violating all of these scriptures. Look at verse 12. It says, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. So again, look at God's attitude towards these abominations. Does it sound like something he's in support of? No, it doesn't. Even if you say, okay, I'm just going to do this. I don't want to know. You can't, you know, stop telling me about them filling up these, you know, gourds with the fat of burnt children or murdered children. Okay, fine. But you can't tell me that glorifying witches and hanging witches and dead crows and skeletons and body bags and all this filth and vile and death and destruction in your front yard, all over your house, you can't tell me that that doesn't violate these scriptures.
Right.
You can't tell me that God's attitude is okay with it. Even a dispensationalist is going to have to admit that God hates these abominations.
Right.
So, look at verse number 13. He says, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Thou shalt be complete. How do you get complete? You get complete by studying his word. That's what he's saying there. He's not saying you're going to be perfect and never sin. That's not what he's talking about. He says, thou shalt be perfect, right? He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be set apart. We're supposed to be sanctified from the world. And Halloween is the way of the heathen. Verse 14, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. So God's saying, hey, look, God doesn't have this in your will. You're supposed to be different. You're not supposed to even go down that road. He said, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. And again, it's because we're supposed to be a peculiar people, right? We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're supposed to be different. We should not celebrate Halloween because, I mean, look, you know, if there's just one holiday that's just like right in your face with evil, I mean, look, we haven't even talked about Santa Claus and his repent of your sins giving, right? Look, but you know, that takes a little bit of digging, but with this, it's just in your face.
Right.
It's just right out there. I mean, look, even the heathen know it's evil, and that's why they like it.
Exactly.
They like being frightened. They like being scared. They like all of that stuff. They love death. Mm-hmm. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And so in here you can see, you know, God's attitude towards all of this stuff. Wizards, necromancers, the spirits, witches, right? What did God tell the children of Israel in Exodus? He said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, right? But yet we have Christians today allowing witches to live in their churches.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking physically, but I'm talking spiritually. They're allowing the imagery of witches in their church through trunk or treat. They're allowing them on their doorsteps. They're allowing them in their homes. They're putting the carvings up in their, you know, on their walls. They're putting them in their windows. And so on. All in the guise of, oh, it's just fun. It's just a game. We're free in Christ, bro. We can do whatever we want. Well, you can do whatever you want if you're saved and still go to heaven, but that doesn't mean you're not going to get chastened.
Right?
It doesn't mean that God wants you to do this stuff. I mean, have some common sense. So, while you're turning to Ephesians 5, I'm going to read for you 1 Samuel 15:23. It says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Right? You know what I've noticed? That a lot of people just have this rebellious attitude, and it seems like they have no problem with witchcraft.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about people that call themselves Christians. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Well, what do you find? People don't want to give up the idols. They don't want to give up the pumpkins. They don't want to give up the skeletons. They don't want to give up the body bags. They don't want to give up the crows. They don't want to give up any of that stuff. He says, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." So this is obviously when Saul couldn't wait. He violated the commandment, and he went ahead and did these sacrifices. Samuel shows up. He's like, "What are you doing? What in the world are you doing, Saul?" And then, you know, he explains to him, "Hey, you're in rebellion right now." But one of the things that you can learn from this is that when we're in rebellion, when you want to follow witchcraft or stubbornness or idolatry or whatever the case is here in this verse, he says, "Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord." Show me a church that does trunk or treat, and I'll show you a church with a bunch of heresies.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Yeah. It's that simple. Because the pastors are become brutish. They've become stupid. They've become dumb. They've neglected the word of God. So, point number one, Halloween is a violation of Scripture because of its history. It is the way of the heathen. There's no way around it. There is no way. There's no debate. There is no way around it. So let's move on here. Point number two, Halloween violates Scripture because it promotes death. Now, I don't need to go to history again to prove that point. Just go to some of these subdivisions and look in people's yards,
right?
Listen to this, Proverbs 8:36. It says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." So God says, hey, there's an attribute about people that hate me. And you know what that attribute is? They love death. They're obsessed with death. They can't stop talking about death. You ever wonder where the haunted houses came from? The palm reading, the necromancers, right? The wizards, all that stuff came from people that are obsessed with death. What's beyond this world? Who's ever heard of CERN? This big research thing over in Switzerland, right? Or is it Sweden? I preached about it a couple years ago. I forgot the details. But one of the whole points of this billion-dollar project, which just about every nation under Earth has its hand dipped in, is to basically break through the other side of the world, right? To basically get into the spirit world. That's what it's for. It's called, they have this thing, it's called a Hadron Collider. It's an atom smasher, basically. And they say that there have been sightings of demons and stuff there, and that this might be where the Antichrist comes from. A lot of bizarre stuff if you look into it, right? But, you know, that's a sermon for another day. But the point is, those people that dreamed that stuff up, that thought about that, I will tell you right now, they are obsessed with death and they hate God.
Yep.
And you could take that to the bank, my friend. God says, all they that hate me love death. So, Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 11. Remember, point number two, Halloween is a violation of Scripture because it glorifies death. Ephesians 5:11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." This is why we won't be going trick-or-treating tomorrow. This is why we don't participate in Halloween, because it's unfruitful, and it's an unfruitful work of darkness,
right?
Halloween promotes darkness. Christ rejects darkness. He is the light. We're not supposed to go back into darkness. Verse 12, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." You know what you're going to find in a lot of these Halloween parties and these haunted houses? You're going to find a shame. You're going to find a lot of shame. That's what you're going to find there. A lot of stuff done in secret. Verse 13, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." This is why I'm using the Bible to tell you and to teach and to reprove this wicked holiday. Because this is our light. Look at verse 14. 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Right? So what are we supposed to be about? We're supposed to be about the light. We have the light in us. We should feed that with God's word. Not with darkness. Not by segregating a full day that glorifies death and destruction and murder and psychopaths and reprobates and all this other junk that Halloween promotes. The Bible says the entrance of thy words giveth light. You want to know why these people can't get this through their thick heads? It's because they refuse to allow God's words to enter into their eyeballs, which it means it doesn't get down to the soul, and therefore it cannot be used for wisdom. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So he's saying, hey, walk carefully. He already told us to prove all things. I have a biblical right to stand up here and to be able to prove this holiday using the light that God's given us. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Look, the days are already evil. Why do you want to set up a whole day dedicated to evil? You want to make it worse. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely absurd. So point number two, Halloween violates scripture because it glorifies death. Just look around. Go down the costume aisle at the store. What do you see? The Grim Reaper, right? The Grim Reaper. You see that sickle with blood dripped all over it. It's death. It glorifies death. What do a lot of kids like to dress up as? Zombies, ghouls, ghosts, dead things, right? You can't tell me this holiday does not glorify death, because it does. So turn to Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. So point number two was Halloween violates scripture because it glorifies death. We are supposed to be away from that, right? God's given us light. He saved us from the second death. Why do we want to go ahead and promote things that are going to go to the second death? Makes no sense. The Christian has no business whatsoever celebrating or endorsing this holiday at all.
Right.
All right. Point number three, Halloween violates scripture because it promotes idolatry. Because it promotes idolatry. Look at verse number, Exodus 20, look at verse number 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. First part of the sentence there, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Well, what's a jack-o'-lantern? It's a graven image, right? Look, not only is it a graven image, it's a graven image of some nasty stuff a lot of times, right? Vampires, Dracula, Frankenstein, the Addams Family, all of that stuff. All of that stuff is trash. And he's saying thou, meaning singular. Remember, these were supposed to be memorized. Because what a lot of people will say, well, remember that God told Moses to make the serpent. That was a graven image. So there's a contradiction in scripture. No, it says thou, meaning you of your own accord. If God tells you to make something, you make it. Amen. If God tells you to make the pomegranates and put them in the temple, then you make them.
Right.
That's a different subject altogether. This is a two-part command for a reason. Right? He says, thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image. What are people doing tonight? They're carving pumpkins. They're carving apples. They're making these graven images. It's wrong.
Right.
It is wrong. Halloween is packed with idolatry. What is idolatry? It's something that takes the place of God. That's what it does. There are people that are going to skip out on their churches this week to go trick-or-treating, to go to that haunted house, to go to house parties. What? You can't tell me that's not idolatry. You can't tell me that you're not replacing the stuff of God and the things of God with the way of the heathen. Because you are. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. So remember, point number three, Halloween violates scripture because it promotes idolatry. I mean, when I was a kid, that was one of my favorite parts of it. Carving the pumpkins out, you know, scooping them out and taking the seeds and just like throwing them at your friends and stuff. You know, I'm not saying having a food fight, you know, is idolatry or bad, but we ought not to be carving pumpkins and making graven images. You know, I know people don't like that. Oh, you got a graven sign over there. Shut up. You know what? You know what I'm talking about here. It's wrong. There's no way around this. It is wrong. So you say, okay, well, I don't believe it's wrong. Did you carve the image? Is it of the likeness of something, you know, above that you've dreamed up, or something underneath the earth? like a devil or like, you know, some kind of demon that you perceive is down there. See, a lot of people in the world today, you've got to understand also, you know, they don't understand the Bible. They think that the devil's in hell calling the shots and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, you know, when I carved that pumpkin, I got a devil with a knife going through his neck. You know, that's still stupid. So ridiculous. In fact, that family that I used to go to church with and that, you know, took me trick-or-treating, I'll tell you, his dad told us one time, he's like, before we go trick-or-treating, we'll just flip off the ground because that's where the devil's at and it makes him mad, and then it's okay. Talk about the wisdom of this world, okay? So he told us. This is ridiculous. And now here, I'm 40 years old, and I've read through the Bible multitudes of times, and that just popped into my head, and I'm like, wow, how ridiculous is that? How stupid is that? I mean, the devil was looking at me when I was, you know, 9 years old laughing like, you've got no understanding. You know, this is ridiculous. But that's the way of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 14. Actually, back up to verse 13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So a lot of people say, oh, I don't think I just can't stop with the trick-or-treating and the Halloween. I've been doing it since I was a kid. How do I stop? Well, according to the Bible here, he says, Paul's telling the Corinthians, hey, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And it says that God has made a way for you to escape. The question is, do you want to escape? Do you want to serve God? Do you want to do right? Do you want to be holy like he said that you should be? Look at verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. We're not supposed to run to idolatry. We're supposed to flee from it. So when you see that yard with the body bags and you see the aisle with all the costumes and the idolatry, we're not supposed to flock to it and check the price and take a selfie with it. You're supposed to bounce. You're supposed to leave. Flee from idolatry. So does that not sound like Halloween? Yeah. I mean, come on. That is Halloween in a nutshell. If you could only remember one point, remember this verse here, 1 Corinthians 10:14, flee from idolatry. Checkmate. I got you. You know, we're done. Halloween is full of idolatry. Look at, jump down to verse 19. Verse 19 says, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things with which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. So, does it sound like Christians should be donning costumes of devils or spirits? Frankenstein, Adam's family. No. And what about a Power Ranger? No. Those are devils. Look, you know, they say, well, these aren't real idols. Look, you're feigning yourself to be another. Yeah. Right? I could show you scripture on that too. But look at verse 19 again. It says, what did I say then? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? A lot of people will say, see, that idol's nothing. We're in the New Testament. It is fine. It's okay. God knows my heart. Right? God knows our heart. Yeah, he does know your heart. He does know your heart. That you don't know the Bible. That you have not hid his word inside your heart, that you might not sin against him. That, my friend, he knows. But what do these idols represent? Well, it represents the history. What does the jack-o'-lantern represent? It represents the history. Yeah. It has a dark, sick, twisted, psychopath, reprobate, disgusting history. That's what it has. And he says, hey, verse 20, he says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. So you know what? The Gentiles, the heathen, they're all about this holiday. Right? They sacrifice their time. They sacrifice their money. They sacrifice their kids to this holiday. And you know what? They're sacrificing the devils. You say, well, they're not really offering up to be killed. Okay, I'll play your game. But you're still partaking. You're still donning the costumes. You're still doing the idolatry. It's still the way of the heathen. You're still going around, you know, trick-or-treating. You're setting your child up for destruction. Because when that child grows up, right, in trick-or-treating, all of a sudden you're too old for trick-or-treating. Well, that void's got to be filled somehow. And you don't think that the school district has, you know, doesn't have a plan for you? Because they do. And it's called the Halloween parties, right? What do you think goes on at these places? Right? Fornication, drunkenness, All sorts of wickedness is what goes on. And then when you become an adult, the cycle just repeats. It is a violation of Scripture. And he says that these people are sacrificing their money, their time, their kids to the devil. Checkmate. It is over. That is what it says. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. So number three, Halloween violates Scripture because it promotes idolatry. Because it promotes idolatry. Point number four, Halloween violates Scripture because it promotes fear. Halloween promotes fear. Again, just like the other points, there's no getting around this. There's no getting around this. Why do you think it takes place at night? What's the point of the haunted house? It's to scare you. You know, when you do a study on fear in the Bible, who are we supposed to fear? God, right? Most of the verses that deal with fear in the Bible pertain to fearing God, right? That's what it is. We're not supposed to fear man. We're not supposed to fear what he can do unto us. We're not supposed to fear the apartment managers. We're not supposed to fear the police and the people who want to stop us from giving the gospel. We're not supposed to fear them at all. We're not supposed to fear what some disease might or might not do to us. We're not supposed to fear what our physical enemies do to us. We're not supposed to fear that. We're supposed to trust in God, because when you fear that, you're not trusting God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So if God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, which is what the Bible says, what do you think he's thinking when his children just run and flock to this holiday which promotes fear? What do you think he's thinking about that? I guarantee you it's not pleasant. I guarantee you he's not happy about it. What do you think the horror films are designed to do? To scare you, to promote fear. People say, "Show me in the Bible where that's wrong." Well, I just did. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." The whole point of the haunted house, the whole point of the fear and the fright, is to get your fear off of God. "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe," right? So when we live a life of fear and we are fearing the wrong things, the Bible says that brings a snare. That limits what you can do in your life spiritually, and it also limits what you can do in your life physically. Fear, the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know why some people don't want to go soul winning? Because they're afraid of what's going to happen at the door. Because they're afraid of getting rejected, or because they're afraid the cops are going to get called, or whatever. You know why people don't read the Bible? Because they're afraid they're going to miss the football game. They're afraid they're going to miss the sports game. They're afraid they're going to miss something in the world. That's why they don't do it. It brings a snare. Prove me wrong. You can't. This is God's word. Look, I remember when I was a kid and I was hanging out with my friend Ben, right? He's the one that led me to the church where I got saved. And we had these other friends we'd hang out with often, and usually around Halloween, they wanted to play this game called Bloody Mary. I don't know who's heard of it. I don't know where these guys found it. I think it was their friend's parents, but him and I, we'd always hang outside. Like, you know, they're like, "All right, we're going to go in this bathroom. We're going to look in this mirror and light this lighter up, and we're going to say this phrase over and over again, right? And this, like, demon was supposed to pop up in the mirror and give you a fortune or something stupid like that." We knew better. I knew that was going too far. We would hang outside the bathroom just in case something happens. I'm like, you know, just in case something happens, I don't want to miss this. Right? You know? That, I mean, what are these people doing in this moment? They're fearful, right? They're fear. They're attracted to the fear of man, the fear of the unknown, the fear of the wrong thing. Well, I remember this one time, and this is true. These guys started playing around with this stuff. Me and Ben were just sitting out there just like, "What are these idiots are going to be doing here? I wonder if something's going to happen." Well, they start going off with this, and the lighter that the kid held all of a sudden started shooting sparks like a sparkler to the roof. It was intense. I bounced out of that house so fast. I went straight home. And I was like, "I'm done with this." And you know what? To this day, when I still see those guys, every so often you run into people when you go home, They don't play around with that stuff anymore. They're still like, I remember that. And that was the last day that they ever did that. And these people aren't saved, by the way. But nonetheless, now they have a fear of the occult. You know, that's what they have a fear of. And they tell this story as well. But I don't know why I thought of that. It's just I thought that it applied. But people that do these type of things, they're attracted to the fear of the world because they don't want to fear God. They don't have the fear of the Lord, and they're not wise. Go back to Proverbs chapter number 2. Proverbs chapter 2. But that's the type of game. Those are the type of games and things that people like to do on Halloween, especially. Yeah. And you know what? That's not given to us by God. That's very clear in the Bible. That is very, very clear in the Bible. So remember, what are we talking about here? We're talking about point number 4. Halloween violates Scripture because it promotes fear. All right. So before we move on here, I just want to show you how to obtain the fear of God. Just in case you're wondering, these are good things to understand that you can, you know, help somebody out someday. Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse number 1. It says, My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, look at the result. So, right, so the first part, the first 4 verses are a condition. So if you do these things, this is what will happen. Verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is God's will for his people, that we would do these ifs, that we would receive his words, that we would hide them in our hearts, that we would incline our ears unto his words so that we could use them and become wise and fear God, not fear some stupid game, not fear Ouija boards or horror films or the Addams Family or Frankenstein or Dracula and all this other garbage that's out there. None of that stuff. That isn't what's going to prosper. This is what's going to prosper you when you understand the fear of the Lord. So you say, how do you obtain it? You do it by allowing God's word to come into your heart. And if Halloween's something you struggle with or somebody that you know struggles with, you need to start here. Get it out. Cut it off. Cut it off because it's not going to profit you at all. So go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Point number 4, Halloween is a violation of Scripture because it promotes fear. Because it promotes fear. I mean, that's the whole point. To get you scared. And when we're scared of the things of the world, it becomes a snare unto us, and we are no longer in good standing with the Lord. You know, it's just going to bring chastening. It's just going to bring just straight evil. So Romans chapter 12, you know, I can't turn here without reading verses 1 and 2, so we're going to read those, but let me give you point number 5 first. Point number 5, Halloween violates Scripture because it glorifies evil. Halloween violates Scripture because it glorifies evil. Now, real quick, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, let's read that again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. Right? So on Halloween, so tomorrow, there are going to be millions of people in this country, some of them saved Christians, to be honest with you. And you know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be offering their bodies a dead sacrifice. They're going to dress up as a zombie or as some ghoul or some ghost or some spirit or some axe murderer or Freddy Krueger or Jason or I don't know what the big guys are now in today's day and age. I remember Freddy Krueger and Jason, you know, from when I was a kid. But I don't know if those guys are still around or not. I think they finally tapped out and went to hell where they belong. But, you know, nonetheless, the Bible says that we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, not a death sacrifice. Right? You know, tomorrow you're going to see some kid walking around with a casket costume. Yeah. You know you're going to see that. Right? Or the Grim Reaper or whatever. It's a violation of Scripture. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Well, Halloween is of this world. It's the way of the heathen. And we're not supposed to conform to that in any way. Now, understand this. I'm not saying that having a wreath with like fall pumpkins and stuff like that, you know, oh, you're in idolatry and you're, it's like, come on, man. I'm talking about, you know, evil, straight evil, right? You know, carving pumpkins, that's idolatry. You know, graving, you know, whittling stuff and you're trying to make it like, you know, what's in heaven or another. You guess what? That's idolatry. I know some people don't agree with that. You may not agree with that. It's what the Bible says. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, is what the Bible says. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The reason why these bozos can't prove anything is because they refuse to allow God's word into their hearts. Right? I mean, that's what it says. Read it again. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you miss that step, if you refuse to allow God's word to transform your mind, believer, you're not going to be able to prove anything from the Bible. And you're not even going to be able to really quite fully understand it. Because your mind is going to be clouded with this garbage. So let's move on here. Point number five. Halloween violates scripture because it glorifies evil. Look at verse 9. Romans 12, look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Now look at this next part. Key verse. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. How come you can't just read this verse to somebody and expect them to get it? Well, the Greek abhor, what he's really talking about there is just a strong dislike with the world as a whole. He's not talking about costumes and candy. Come on, man, you got to get right. No, abhor that which is evil. Halloween is evil. It's straight up, it's evil. So, if you don't believe me, I'm going to read for you the definition of a haunted house. Now, it's sad that I had to get this low to where I had to read the definition here. But just listen to this. It says, a haunted attraction is a form of live entertainment that simulates the experience of visiting haunted locations or storylines typical of horror fiction. They usually feature fearsome sets and characters, especially demons, ghosts, monsters, witches, wizards, serial killers, and psychopaths. Humorous characters may also be included. Well, I guess that makes it all right. There might be a Jerry Seinfeld guy or some funny character there, right? Somebody that makes you laugh. Well, we're supposed to hate this sort of stuff. This is the world's definition of a haunted house. It's entertainment that simulates visiting a real haunted location, right? Storylines typical of horror fiction. And what does it promote? Fearsome sets and characters, all right? What was point number four? That Halloween violates scripture because it glorifies fear, because it promotes fear. Right? The wrong kind of fear. The fear that brings a snare unto man. Right? Number five, what are we dealing with here? Halloween violates scripture because it glorifies evil. We're told in verse 9, abhor that which is evil. That is to have a strong hatred for that which is evil. Haunted houses are evil. Halloween is evil. We should hate that. And if you don't, it's okay. It just means you haven't been transformed by the word of God. You just haven't renewed your mind. You're not taking in God's word and you need to start. You need to start. So go to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read for you Proverbs 24:1. It says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. So we shouldn't desire to partake in the world's holiday of Halloween. We should not envy these people and look at them. Oh, look at all the fun they're having tomorrow. Look at all the doors they're knocking. Look at all the candy they have. Look, I'll give you candy. I'll give it to you as a free gift. And if you're bad, you know, you guys are being bad, it's fine. I'm not going to come back and take it. I'm not Santa Claus. I don't have that repent of your sins mentality. All right? Be not thou envious against evil men. Don't look at these people and desire to be with them. That's what the Bible's saying. Exodus 23, look at verse 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. You can't tell me that putting on a costume isn't raising a false report. And you might say that's a little extreme. I have an auditor's type mentality, but that's the way I see it. I see you putting on a costume, trying to feign thyself another. You're bringing up a false report. In some sense of the form, you are basically putting on a false report. You're lying because you're not really that thing that you're trying to be. And I know you might say, oh, that's a stretch, but that's the way I see it. And obviously he is talking about lying here. But thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. So he is talking about lying, but you know what? When people go out together, two by two, and they go to that costume party, and they go to that Halloween party, they really are raising a false report. You know, because Halloween's a time where people use it to try to justify their wicked, evil deeds. There's a reason why tomorrow crime is going to skyrocket. Kids are going to go missing. Kids are going to get sacrificed. Contrary to popular belief, it is going to happen, and it will happen tomorrow. Tomorrow, there is a child somewhere in this country that's going to take its last breath, all because of some sick, twisted, psychopath, reprobate faggot that wants to sacrifice kids. Right. Verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. So he's saying, hey, don't follow a multitude to do evil. Just because everybody's doing it, just because all the other churches are doing trunk or treat, doesn't mean we're going to do it. Because we're not going to follow a multitude to do evil. We're not going to follow a multitude to repent of our sins, are we? So why would we follow a multitude to honor a wicked and adulterous holiday? It's not going to happen. Turn to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. Long time ago, I was at this naval base. It's called Bangor, up in Washington. I was doing a job with a guy. It was a nighttime type job. And guy had long hair. And he'd always go missing on Halloween. One night we got stuck together working on a job, and I asked him, like, so you got something up on Halloween? You going to Halloween parties? He's like, you must serve him. And then I got real. I was like, whoa, what do you mean serve him? And he's like, the man upstairs, huh? He's like, I bet you're a Christian, aren't you? I was like, man, just because I asked that? You know, this guy was definitely, something's up with this guy. Turns out he explains to me that he's a Wiccan high priest. That's what he tells me. I'm a Wiccan high priest. Now, if you find Bangor, Washington, or where's Bangor next to? Silverdale. Silverdale, Washington. Basically, the further north you go in Washington, the more Wiccans you're going to find, right? I mean, these people love the high places. That's my theory anyways. But Wicca is a very popular and increasingly growing religion up there. And this guy here began to just pour it on and tell me what it was all about. And I was, you know, obviously messing with him and asking questions and stuff like that. And he tells me, I take Halloween off every year because we do this festival where we go to these locations and we do a mild sacrifice. He said, we don't sacrifice anything real, right? And he says, and you can't hold all Wiccans to this because this is what our coven does. So this is what our coven does. They do like a mock sacrifice of a squirrel or something that's already died. And I was like, man, that's just weird, you know? And he was telling me that they get in a circle, they hold hands. I'm like, No. And they hold hands and they say these different chants and they meditate and they basically try to bring in the fall season with peace, is what he told me, right? But I'll never forget the way he responded to me. He said, you must be on his side. Or something to that effect. I remember thinking, like, man, I just asked one question. Did he hear about me? I don't know, maybe. But either way, the way he said it, I'll never forget the tone of his voice. But then he began to name for me all the different police officers and politicians that were in Washington, higher-ups, they were involved in Wicca. I was like, man. And he started to tell me about Anton LaVey. And if you don't know who Anton LaVey is, he was a Satanist. It was real popular. Didn't he start the Church of Satan? Yeah, he's the guy that started the Church of Satan in California. You know that song, Hotel California? That's about him, isn't it? That's about him. And in fact, you can find his face on the cover of that album. I forgot who sang the Eagles, right? Okay, yeah, the Eagles. But anyway, he's telling me about this guy, and he's like, we're not Satanists like they are. I mean, and he's telling me, like, there's nothing wrong with what they do. He's like, they're not the demons that Christians want to make them out to be, right? But he's basically just telling me about his rituals, and he says that it's different for every coven. He says, I know some covens that go and they hug trees when the loggers go try to cut them down. I was like, I could see that. I could see that up here. But you know what? Everything that he told me was just straight against the Bible. It was just straight evil. He tried to give me this book, and he's like, you know, you need to read this book. He then began to try to convert me, and I was like, look, I don't want nothing to do with this junk, man. I'm not growing my hair out. I'm not taking Halloween off. I don't want anything to do with it. And then I began to do my 22-year-old self stuff and make fun of him, and you know how that goes. In the workplace, it's considered bullying, and you get in trouble. But we're going to move on here, all right? What am I talking about? Oh, yeah, verse 34. Psalm 34, look at verse 16. It says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The Bible says that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The people that really want to propagate this holiday of Halloween, you know what? God's face is against them. It really is. So why do you want to partake in it? What's appealing about it? You know what it is? It's the flesh. That's what it is. But it says the Lord's face is against them that do evil. But yet, you know what? Tomorrow, Christians are going to try to cohabitate with this holiday. And they will cohabitate. They're going to compromise and they're going to partake, not realizing that God is against those people. Look, God's against the candy manufacturers that get excited to take your big bucks you know, every October 31st. You know, I mean, think about it. There's a lot of money involved in this holiday too. And that's something that we don't even have time to fully get into. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, we're almost done. While you're turning there, I'm just going to finish point five off for you out of Psalms 26:5. It says, I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I'll wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. We should have that attitude. We should hate the congregation of evildoers. We should hate that with a passion and stay as far away from it as we possibly can. All right. So point number five is Halloween violates Scripture because it glorifies evil. It glorifies evil. Point number six is Halloween violates Scripture because it promotes darkness. Halloween violates Scripture because it promotes darkness. You ever wonder why? Why does the trick-or-treating start when the sun goes down? It's because that's when the Druid priests would go out and bang on people's doors and try to snatch their kids. That's why. I mean, think about it. When is most crime completed? It's at night. It's in darkness. When do people get drunk? They're drunken in the nighttime. Now, obviously, the unfortunate thing, there's a lot of people that are drunk even in the day here. And I've seen that. I've shown up to people's houses and like, this guy's drunk. He can't make a decision. I'm out of here. It does happen. But nonetheless, I mean, think about it. When did the Sodomites encompass Lot's house? You know, think about that. Genesis 19. When did those reprobates, you know, go after the Levite? It was at night. That's when a lot of things are done. I mean, tomorrow, right? I mean, study the Church of Satan. When they do their little stupid sacrifices, it's at night. They're not doing it at noon during lunchtime. Right. You know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are wicked and evil. Romans 13, look at verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The Bible tells us, hey, you know what? You shouldn't glorify darkness, right? I called you out of darkness. You need to be about the light. Put on the armor of light, which is obviously God's word. Turn to Acts 26, and we're going to get moving here. So point number six, Halloween violates Scripture because it promotes darkness. It promotes darkness. Romans 13, 12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. You know what? The Christian is supposed to cast off Halloween because it's the work of darkness and it's the way of the heathen.
That's right.
While you're turning to Acts 26, I'm reading for you 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, which says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. But the entire holiday of Halloween is darkness. It's all about darkness as well. Not just fear, but also darkness. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that people that are saved, that go trick-or-treating or partake in Halloween, that they lost their salvation. You can't lose your salvation. But I am saying they do not the truth. They're not doing right. They're not doing well. They're not doing good. They're not wise. It's a wicked thing. Halloween violates Scripture because it promotes darkness. And when we partake in this, we do not the truth. So that should be a reason enough not to partake. Acts 26, Paul giving his testimony here about what the Lord commissioned him to do. Look at verse 15. He says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Now look at verse 18. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is the most basic thing. This is why we go knock on people's doors, to turn them from darkness to light. So why would you think it's okay with God that after you're saved, after you've been turned to light, to go ahead and celebrate the darkness which you were saved out of? Makes no sense at all. All right, we're almost done here. Go to 1 John chapter 2, and then I'll have you go to Revelation 21, and then we will be done. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read for you Ephesians 6:12, which says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Right? The Bible says, hey, we're not wrestling flesh and blood here. We're wrestling something greater, something that we can't see, something that we can only win, something that we can only beat with the light of God's word. Right? He's saying, hey, we wrestle these principalities and these powers of darkness that are out there that you can't see. And then you're going to tell me it's okay to celebrate those same things on October 31st once a year? That it's just harmless entertainment? It's just about the candy? It's just about having fun? No, it's wickedness. It's wickedness. Look, if we wrestle against these things, why are we going to team up with them? Makes no sense. It is not of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Point number 6, Halloween violates scripture because it promotes darkness. Now let's move on here for the conclusion. You're there in 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that doesn't mean he's not saved. We've already dealt with this a few weeks ago. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Look, the lust of the eyes, the candy, the costumes, the haunted houses, the pomp of this holiday, that's all geared towards the flesh. It doesn't come from God. It's a violation of Scripture. It is why we should not celebrate this holiday at all. Right? We're not supposed to love the world, is what he's saying here. It's a violation of Scripture. Now, go to Revelation 21. Like I said, I know you guys are tired. I'm tired too. We're almost done. While you're going to Revelation 21, I'm going to read for you Galatians 5, verse 19, which says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. All things that Halloween glorifies. Yeah. These are the works of the flesh. This is why we should not partake. This is why we should prove these things from the Bible. This is why we have to fight this holiday. And last but not least, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look, every single thing on this list is promoted on October 31st. It's promoted more so than any other day. All of these things, right? The fearful, that's the point of Halloween, right? The unbelieving, it's designed by the heathen. It's the way of the heathen. The abominable, people are going to dress up like the abominable snowman or whatever tomorrow, you know? Murderers, whoremongers, all right? All this stuff is basically, it's accelerated on Halloween. It's ramped up. It's promoted. This is what we're trying to stop. We're trying to save people and get them born again, right? Not turn them back to this stuff. God has not called us into darkness. He's called us to light. And you know what? To finish this off, just remember this. You know what? When we go out door to door, we're actually out there trying to give people something. Right. We're trying to give them the gospel. We're not selling anything. But when the devil's children go out door to door, they're trying to take something. Yeah. Think about that. Trying to take your candy, right? But a couple hundred years ago, they're trying to take your kids. And you know what? There are going to be people out there tomorrow that are going to try to take your kids. So just remember that. When we go out, we give a free gift. When they go out, they take. Let's bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the truths in your word. I just pray that you'd help us to be able to keep these things at memory, Lord, that we might be able to edify and teach somebody who's mixed up in it, Lord. In Jesus' name.